True Faith Podcast. I'm Alex Hurst, joined by, in no particular order, Adam, Ben, Chubbs, Si, and Mickey Carlin, full name. We are sat in the Herb Garden in Newcastle, recording this post-Burnley. We've just got a lovely round of drinks delivered. And then Newcastle have left 2 points out there against a very, very, very average Burnley side. And no one's really know where it leaves us. It's also the end of the transfer window, and Newcastle have added Islam Slimani at the time of speaking, as well as Kennedy, who looks like a really, really, really good footballer. Well called, Chubbs, by you. You rated him big time. And it remains to be seen if Newcastle will do any more business in the remaining 45 minutes. So lads, keep your phone out in case we're signing some kid from Feyenoord for 30 million quid. But I'm going to come to Adam first. Adam, where are we? Is there any positivity to be taken out of that?
Oh, absolutely. Look, everyone's disappointed with another game thrown away due to missed chances. But look, had that been like, I think because it's a Burnley as well, the fact that Burnley are traditionally a poor bottom of the table kind of side, if that had been like a Leicester or an Everton and we'd got a decent 1-1 draw, then we're looking pretty positive. We played very well. Kennedy, what a debut. He basically ran the show in the first half. I thought Diarmi's performance was really, really good as well. So I think we did a lot of things right tonight. But it's the same old story. It's wasted chances. It's not putting the game to bed. And it's allowing the opposition to grow into the second half and basically reduce us down to their style of play. It was, you know, Burnley work off free kicks, stop starts, lumps into the box, headers, aerial challenges. That's basically what their game is. They didn't like it when we played along the ground and we tried to play fluid football. They couldn't deal with Kennedy, for example. But we allowed them to reduce us down to their style of play. And I think in the second half, you know, there was only in the last sort of 10-5 minutes, there was only going to be one winner if there was going to be a third goal, and it was going to go to Burnley because we didn't look close to getting that winner after missing so many chances earlier on.
Yeah, can't disagree with any of that. I mean, we may as well get straight into it. Ben, I'm going to start with you since you're immediately right. Is that enough? Are we, you know, that's 3 points picked up against, in recent times, against Brighton, Swansea and Burnley. And there was only one team really in those games. There's only one, I mean, a Swansea in the second half and Burnley, as Adam says, come into it last 10-15. But it's a poor return, isn't it? And do you think it's already kind of terminal?
I think, I mean, just one thing to say, I think that's the best we'll play this season without taking all 3 points. We've battered them for the first sort of 60, 70 minutes, really. The chances we've created, basically we've not won because of a few sloppy bits of play, the poor pass or a bad penalty or whatever. But it just...
An understatement.
Yeah, but it's just... Like, you can't, we're not going to play that well all the time and get opportunities to pick up points. And if we kind of take the advantage of it when we're playing well and against a team that hasn't really shown up tonight, to be honest, then we're not going to do it if the opposition turn up. It's really, really worrying. I think the only positive is obviously the state of the teams around us. But I mean, obviously, we've not particularly strengthened over the sort of window, and it's just a massive, massive gamble. And I mean, it's not all's lost. I mean, as I say, the players are still fighting. There's still some positives to take there. I think Mo Diarmi, as Adam alluded to, was unbelievable again tonight. Like, didn't put a foot wrong.
I feel like a proud dad.
Yeah.
I backed him from the start, and tonight the Block V was singing his name.
He was like unbelievable. Like, he was the one player out there that was putting in 100%. Like, flying into every tackle, winning the ball, like, give everything for the club tonight. It's just unfortunate that it wasn't enough. I think Kennedy, as we already said as well, was brilliant. So there's some positives there, but it's just the goal threat. We've created a lot of chances and not been able to put anything away. We've just got to pray and hope that Slomani will come in and bang a few for her.
Lots of good points made there. Chubbs, go on then. Talk to us about Kennedy. Were you expecting that strong a debut from a lad who's hardly played any football this season?
I was, absolutely. I don't actually think he's shown everything he's got in his locker, really. I think at times he looked like he was kind of looking at his teammate and wondering what his place was and wondering how much he should be driving on. I think he's got a bit more in him to run at players as well. From what I hear from people inside the game anyway, he's got Megs galore, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. In the first half, he was a danger man, non-stop. Every time he was anywhere near the ball, Bardsley seemed to back off and wipe his arse a bit. Yeah, absolutely stunning. Unfortunately, it's not going to be enough in this window, I don't think, to really excite the fans to just get him through the door. It's not really fair on the fans. I can't decide whether I'm raging or not, because Burnley's got about the population of fucking Blythe Town, and I hate the fact that we have drawn with them or we haven't got more out of them this season. But for the ability level of the players we had on the pitch tonight, I can't really be mad at them. I don't think they've underperformed. I think they've played well. I think,
mind you, man for man,
we were better than them. Yeah,
like, got to be. Even, like, their team are terrible.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a £50 million striker to come on, and he made a massive difference. Chris Wood, when he came on, a massive difference. We couldn't handle him, just like last season. At St James's, we couldn't handle him. I'll spread it out. Sai, first half, Hosolu. I mean, I actually thought it was Paul Dummett taking the pen, and I eyebrows were raised, but I wish it was Paul. I wish it was Paul Dummett taking the fucking pen out and seeing what Hosolu did. And I liked Hosolu's effort tonight. He closed down well. He didn't really have his aerial dominance, but Sai, talk us through the pen and what and your thoughts. I mean, first of all, Kennedy, brilliant bit of play, but. Just go on, just talk me through.
I mean, what do you need to know? Like, it was the worst penalty I've seen in a long time since Mitrovic last season.
You think he should
have taken it? Obviously, he's a centre-forward. I'd no qualms. When you turned around and said, "Is that Paul Dummett?" I had to take two looks and make sure it wasn't Paul Dummett. But, I mean, Richie's our pen taker. He wasn't on the pitch at the time. If Richie was on the pitch, he would have taken, obviously. But he's a centre-forward. You've got to back him. So I was more than happy with him. I was a bit worried because there was lots of people around us sort of saying, "Oh, no, he's not, is he? He's not Yosselu," which... doesn't obviously you probably can't hear that, but when half the crowd's already thinking shit, it probably doesn't help him. But he didn't look confident at all, did he? He kind of, his body shape was all wrong. He stepped up. We all knew exactly where that ball was going, and so did the keeper. The run up was put. Yeah, he didn't run up to smash it. He just kind of jogged up.
No angle on the run. He approaches it like.
It was a lad who looks bereft of confidence. A lad who just doesn't look like he believes in himself anymore. And. It's not what when we first got him, those first couple of games against West Ham and Stoke at home, he was class and he dominated and he seemed to really back himself against the adversity because no one really thought he was up to much. But he doesn't look like that anymore. He's playing in his shell again, and it's kind of, that penalty summed him up at the minute.
Well, I think with the penalty, you know, it's the one kind of set play in football where you have almost too much time to think about where it's going. And it's something that we saw in Patrice in years gone by. When he's got too much time to think, he loses that natural instinct. When a player like Hosolu is so down, and as you say, Sai, completely bereft of confidence, a penalty that is so crucial, despite him being a striker, despite him being 12 yards out, unchallenged shot like a goal against Burnley's second goalkeeper, like, give it to somebody who's going to be brimming with confidence. Somebody mentioned... I don't know why Marino didn't take it. I don't know why Kennedy didn't take it, because the lad was dripping in confidence. Like, he had this swagger about him, and he just was unfazed by everything that was going on around him, and he decided to take that game, certainly in the first half, you know, took the game by the scruff of the neck, and he made things happen. And honestly, you give him that penalty, he tucks it away with, like, you know, an eye closed. He will breeze past it. But instead, it's Hosolu, and it was just a very big thing. And I just think the situation overwhelmed him, and it maybe was just the wrong person to take it.
Yeah, if we get a pen on Saturday, I'll not be happy if he steps up to take it.
I felt like he took it out of duty. He's thinking because he's a striker, he had to take it. Do you know what I mean? Because he'd started up front, and that sounds daft for someone who's a centre forward in the Premier League. It's not his game. No. Like, that is not his game. Clearly this season, you know, coming away, what is he on, 4 goals? Finishing's not really his game. His game is 1-2 touches, bringing other people into play, being a bit of a dog's body, being a bit of a battering ram. I think he just kind of, he felt a bit of a weight on his shoulders to go up and take it. I think was Perez near him as well? Was Perez asking for it?
Yeah, I thought Perez was interested, actually.
There's a couple of people around him.
Yeah.
Docker, you thought Dummett was taking it?
No, I want to come to Mickey and Mickey, what I want to put to you is...
I want to talk about Hosolu.
You want to talk about Hosolu first? Yeah. Okay, I'll come back to you after that.
Just briefly, one of the things that I pointed out at half-time to Chubbs, who was sat next to us today, I thought Hosolu played well in the first half, especially the first sort of 30 minutes. I thought it was one of the better performances he put in for us, and the reason was... our players were quite close to him, and so he only had to take one or two touches, which he's reasonably good at. He can hold the ball up for one or two touches. If we're forcing him to take five, he hasn't got it. If he's isolated for 3-4 seconds until someone else is near him with the, to get the ball off him, he can't do it. But with one or two touches, he's big enough and strong enough, and he's got one or two touches in him. And until, I think until we got the pen, he was playing Aris, and then you could see, like, it was a disgusting penalty, and you could see the confidence just sap out of him straight away. And the rest of the game, he was atrocious, and it was obvious that it was confidence.
Yeah, and we, in the second half, we were very critical of him when he drags that shot wide when we had the chance to go 2-0 up. We've just seen the replay, and the ball from Murphy is basically a joke. It's behind him, it's bobbling, it's slow. So, you know, tough on him there. Maybe, I mean, I'll ask, pass this to Si as well when you've had your save. Si wants to say anything else. Are we just unlucky, or we're not good enough? Like, so for example, you know, if you look, let's take tonight and let's take Everton. Everton, we've hit the bar. We've hit the inside of the post. We've hit the inside of the post tonight. Brilliant save from the keeper. We've missed the pen. We've controlled that game, and we've taken 1 point from those two games against two top half teams, Everton in the top half as of now. Does that suggest we're a good team playing without luck, or does it suggest that, you know, I'm picking out very specific moments in games to cling to, and in fact we're relegation fodder? What do you think?
It's difficult to say. I think probably somewhere in between. Bad luck doesn't last for as long as we've had it, so there's certainly an element of lack of ability and lack of quality, which we've said all year, and it's obvious when you look at the team. But you can't just forget about those key moments in games that can otherwise turn it. If like the examples you've given there for Everton from today, if Hosloo scores that pen, we win that game. If Hosloo scores that shot in the second half where he's pulled it wide, we win. If he gets on the end of it at the end, where I mean it was you couldn't really see from our corner, but it looked like if he'd been maybe a step faster with 5 minutes to go at the back post, he scores. Any of those three go in the net and we win. So it football runs on fine margins, and there's certainly a massive element of being unlucky, and we're on the wrong end of all the key moments and the key knife edge things at the minute. They seem to all go against Newcastle. So both. Sorry, that's a shite answer.
I'm not normally as negative as I'm about to be, but I think it's more the latter. I think you've just called it key moments, but we only give ourselves one or two key moments. Fair enough, today we played pretty well. We maybe had three or four gilt-edged chances, and should have put that game to bed, but generally across this whole season, each game we've been able to pick out one moment where, with a bit of luck, we might have scored or what have you, but realistically, You kind of just play football like that, where you get one chance a game, and if you don't get it, you lose. Like, that's not good enough.
There was three though today.
Yeah, today was probably different.
There was two at least against Everton.
But again, you know, one game isn't going to change your season.
It's territory, isn't it?
Yeah.
Get your one chance a game.
It's maximum territory there. Get your one chance a game, not scoring it, and fucking cursing God that you're so unlucky and that you deserve to win it.
Yeah, but on the other hand, though, it's like, it's not like Burnley or Everton or, I mean, Bournemouth was different. Dwight Gill scores a legitimate goal. It's ruled out. Matt Ritchie gets the inside of the post. I'm just trying. You know, we're scratching around for points here. I mean, we've got Man United and Liverpool after Palace, which is just like Jesus fucking Christ. Like,
I think your question was, are we getting unlucky or are we not very good? We're not very good, and so we need luck. We need luck at this point in the season to get what we need now.
We need not to have bad.
We need, well, it's the same thing, isn't it?
I don't think that's bad, no, because I don't think Newcastle. I don't think you'd say we'd be lucky if all of those goals had gone in. They were all, you know, Matt Ritchie's hit the inside of the post three times this season. I don't know. I'm probably clutching here because I'm so disappointed.
Look, personally, I think today perfectly epitomised why Rafa's needing a striker, why Rafa's needing a goalkeeper. I'm not going to blame Darlow for the eventual goal, because I think it was just poor defending, and Burnley are just very, very good at set pieces because that is their whole game. But I didn't feel that, say, Darlow had command of his area in a game that kind of was crying out for it. Obviously, Hosloo epitomised exactly why we need a striker who is confident in his own abilities, has belief. Today, I mean, it's the same old story. It's the same old story today. 14 shots. How many on target? 4. You know, 52% possession as well today, which is probably one of the first times we've had the lion's share of possession. Yet, you know, Burnley did have pockets where they absolutely dominated us, and we didn't look like getting back in the game. But it's the chances. We're creating chances. We're having shots, but it's the same old story. We're talking about the same old themes through every single home game. I mean, and now the thing at home, it's becoming a thing. When was the last time we won at home? Was it
Palace?
Palace 1-0 Marino in the last minute. Do you know what I mean? This is going on too long. It is becoming a thing.
Lucky girl as well.
Yeah, it was, and it's telling that, you know, I talked before about Burnley kind of reducing us down to their style of play. How did our goal come about? Direct from a corner. It's almost we Burnley'd them, but then they hit right back and got one back. It's very, very, very frustrating. But I tell you what. There's one man that could have improved tonight, and had Mike Ashley allowed Rafa Benitez to get these signings done on the 20th of January, like Rafa said he wanted, he told him in December. We obviously know that Ashley had told Rafa weeks ago that the takeover was off, yet he didn't take any responsibility for giving him a budget, for giving him the green light for any of these transfers. And what's happened? We've now gone into tonight's game against Burnley, and this, you know, this deadline of the 20th that Rafa said, it's not random. He knew that he had important games, Crystal Palace and Burnley coming up, that were winnable games, FA Cup less so. But the fact that Slimani wasn't playing tonight, the fact that this Dubravka, who is clearly coming in, is our new number one. These kind of additions, you saw the difference Kennedy made. He was a cut above everyone else on our team, bar Diarmi. And this is the difference that new signers can make. It can lift everybody. Instead, Hossolu is probably going to have to go into Crystal Palace even worse confident than he started out tonight, because he knows that I don't think Slimani's going to be fit enough for the Palace game. So he's now got, you know, 3 or 4 days now to stew on all those missed chances. You know, he needs confidence. Sorry, Ben.
No, just on that point, I think the new signings would have come in with a breath of fresh air, basically. I mean, you can see this team got baggage there. They know that they've been struggling. They know they haven't got the what they've deserved out of some of these games this season. And it is literally like a hangover. They're probably so disappointed that they've deserved to win quite a few of these games this season, probably, and just haven't been able to do it. Whereas you see Kennedy at night came in, didn't have any worries, just beat his man for fun, sort of every opportunity he had, played just...
His man was Phil Bardsley.
Yeah, Mickey was just saying his man was Phil Bardsley, so be warned. I agree with all that. I just want to talk about centre midfield for a minute. I believe that is the first time we've seen Marino and Diarmi partner together in centre midfield this season, certainly in the Premier League. I thought for 60, 65 minutes it worked fantastically. The athleticism that they both had compared to maybe a Shelvey and a Hayden, or Shelvey and anyone really, was fantastic, and we were all over the midfield. We didn't give them a minute, and it was clearly a plan. And Diarmi, especially as we alluded to, had clearly been tasked with just get into these, fuck them up, and it worked really, really well, and that bodes well for the future. However, it's the same old from, and I think Marino did fine. I think he played well. I feel if we go back and listen to the podcast from like September, we'll be saying Mickey Marino 50, 55 minutes, great, brilliant, and he falls off. And he falls away, and we'll put it down to fitness, we'll put it down to pace of the Premier League. I don't feel like we can continue with I don't know whether we can continue or not, but...
Yeah, he's been injured.
He's been injured, but I just feel like we'll see the same performance from... You say about Monty Panesar going to cricket. he didn't... Yeah, I know
whoa, wrong. Switch. You're on the wrong podcast.
Yeah. Fucking just bowled a googly there, okay.
He didn't have 100 deliveries, he had the same delivery 100 times, and I feel like I see the same performance from Marino. I know I'm being negative. Game after game, it's the same performance. It's nice touches in midfield, it's sweeping up quite nicely, it's athleticism in the first half, and then it's disappearing after second half. Lack of fitness, lack of athleticism, it's kind of frustrating. So, Chubbs, that's a very long way of going into you. Do you back that team we picked tonight, and do you pick that team on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it joins on the question you asked before about are we unlucky or we're just not very good. I think that team that was picked tonight, well, I'll go back to what I said earlier in the week. Earlier in the week, I didn't back where to get more than 2 points out of these two games. I was very negative. And the Geordie genes in me, every, say, hour before every game, optimism just goes through the roof. And I'm like, right, fuck it, we're getting 3 points. That's it. I've seen the team line up. We're getting 3 points. That's it. Genuinely tonight, the team we put out on that pitch, it is relegation fodder, to answer your question, but it's just good enough to stay up, in my opinion. Just good enough to stay up. I think man for man, quality wise, on paper, it's better than Brighton, it's better than Swansea, it's better than West Brom. Can't really think of any other shit teams.
Stoke.
On paper. Being honest, I wouldn't really. There's nothing you could change for Saturday other than maybe Murphy comes in on the right hand side. I don't think Atsu had his best game tonight. If he's not, you know, he wasn't very assertive. And I think when you've got Kennedy, you don't really need Atsu. If you've got Kennedy, who's willing to run at people, I think Rafa likes balance, doesn't he? I think you'd prefer to have someone with a little bit more culture on the right hand side, a little bit more. I think at times tonight Atsu was a bit of a headless chicken. Just got his head down and tried to just game with yards when they weren't really there. Hossolu, I mean, I wouldn't have picked him tonight, but we don't have many options, like, unless Lamani's fit. And I can't be mad at him because I think he's playing at the wrong level. I really do. I think, you know, he's a championship player playing in the Premier League, and that seems to be the case time and time again. But so I can't be mad at him playing poorly because he's at the wrong level. But yeah, 1-11 for Sunday. I wouldn't really change much. A back four, fairly solid. Maybe Mankio in for Yedlin. I think there's a lot of fans would agree with that as well. Lascelles and Clark were very assured. One thing I didn't like. I'm a big advocate of playing football and playing out from the back. In general, I think that's the way it should be played. It should be played on the deck. But there was a couple of times today in front of me and you, Mickey, where fucking Darlow puts the ball down and Lascelles and Clark split, and we try to go at Lascelles' feet and play through the thirds. Bin that off immediately. Like,
he's got it in him, has he?
He hasn't got it, man. He's a known liability on the ball. He's a fucking top lad. He leads the team well. He is a skipper. Great in the air. Great positionally. Gets out well. Talks well. But he's not the sort of person want to get the ball on the deck and play out from. How many times did Dollar try and give the ball to Yedlin? And there was one where he just got tackled off Aaron Lennon. I mean, Lennon's not really known for his tackling. I mean,
what worries me a little bit, Chubbs, and Lennon and Wood and the other lad who came on,
Vokes came on,
they changed the game. The Burnley's bench there made a massive impact on the game. They changed the flow of the game. We were on top, and it's like when we talk about quality or lack of it, Murphy did well when he come on again, that pass to fucking Hossolu, but never mind that. We just look so weak from the bench, and yeah, you know, Salmoni comes in and I think he's a good signing and we'll talk about him great, but it's still Hossolu coming on for him. You know, we're still going to have the same problems, and Sai, I'll come on to it. It's weird, isn't it? And Adam, you said this the other day in the group chat on WhatsApp. There's almost like a little bit of acceptance about the business we've done because it's happened at the last minute, whereas surely it's a disgrace.
I know, it's been weird. People have been buzzing because we've actually made some deadline day signings, which we haven't for I don't know how long. I mean, you have to go back to the last deadline day business we did was getting Sissoko away for 35 million. In that sense, it's weird, isn't it? Because we started the day thinking, well, that's it, we'll probably won't sign anyone. And it looks, we've got Slimani, and we've probably got this keeper potentially. I don't know, still yet to have that confirmed. I totally agree, though. I'm not at all buzzing. I think we should be as critical as we were yesterday about it today, because at the end of the day, Slimani, while I've no doubt he'll improve the team, he's not exactly prolific, and he's had a year and a half at Leicester, and yeah, all right, he's not the number one striker. They've got Vardy, but he scored 8 goals in a season and a half at Leicester. So, you know, if that's the only sign we're going to make to save our season, we're still playing with fire. It's papering over one of the 300 cracks we've got in the team at the minute, and it's still a disgrace.
Just like to make a quick correction, Ben's pointed out that Chris Wood didn't play today. It was Sam Vokes who come on and he did change the game and do really well. But anyway, back to Adam.
I thought that's my name for them.
Just getting onto the Slimani thing. Interesting tweet from Luke Edwards earlier was a vaguely interesting point, but Slimani was the striker Benitez told us he wanted before the transfer window opened, but didn't think he could get him back then, so he'd be very happy with him signing today. So it's interesting that actually Rafa Benitez might have got feasibly his number one target given our situation. So I think all he'll be upset about is simply the fact that it's been done on the last day and we haven't got this deal done like 2 weeks ago. I think that's... I appreciate that, you know, talk about Slimani having to be behind Vardy in the pecking order. I don't think Slimani's probably had a proper chance to, you know, thrive in English football. He's obviously has a pedigree that's better than what we've seen, certainly than what we have in the current squad. I mean, we've got to look in context here. Are the players that we're bringing in going to improve us? Dubravka, I don't know much about him at all, but if Rafa sees him as number one, he's probably going to be an upgrade on Elliot and Darlow. Is Slimani better than Hosolu and Gale? Yeah, probably. Probably massively so. And even if he gets a couple of goals that get us a couple of extra points, it's better than bringing nobody in. I know that's a terrible way to look at things, but this is just the situation we're in. Does Kennedy improve us? You saw tonight, he made an absolutely huge difference. Bordering on a man of the match performance, given that he's just been thrown into the team. So I think it's less about... I think if you look at those signings as a collective, they're not bad signings at all. It's okay, but I think it's the circumstance in which we've acquired them and the time it's taken and the fact that we very nearly didn't get them, given how important and crucial this transfer window is, that has everyone so annoyed.
Just to provide some clarity to what I was saying as well,
Chris Wood didn't play.
Swansea have re-signed Andre for 18 million quid. Southampton have spent 19 million quid on a player. These are two teams below it. West Brom, who already had Rondon, Rodriguez, and another Robson Cornu, who is shite, but still, he's probably
scored against us earlier.
Yeah, he scored against us. They've added Daniel Sturridge and other players. Brighton have broken that transfer record. Huddersfield have signed a player for 11 million quid, and we've got two lads on loan who can't get in their teams. And Kennedy tonight, fucking hell, what a performance! Brilliant. I don't mean to get at Paul here, but I think we were saying in the first half side, we're like, Kennedy clearly used to play with a left back like Paul Dummett. He was looking over his shoulder for the run and just seeing grass and like, well, where are you, Paul? All right, you're back next to Carl Darlow on the fucking goal line. But you look at what other teams have done to try and stay in the league, and you look at what we've done. And it's almost like, honestly, if you were to take it out of context and you would take it out of football and Mike Ashley and show someone, it's almost like we've accepted relegation. Like Mike Ashley, we've accepted relegation. And one theory I've heard is, you know, we didn't spend money last January, so everyone said, oh, we'll have money for the summer. We didn't spend money in the summer, so everyone said, we'll have money for January. And it's kind of the same again. And if we do go down, he probably does have that 100, 120 million quid coming in TV money with her wage bill massively slashed. To spend another 50 million quid getting what up, and it's like, well, we all know what it is. It'd probably be the end of Rafa Benitez, and he needs to sell the club and go. More of that at the True Faith Press Forum tomorrow night, or tonight, whenever you're listening to this. Breaking news, Ben.
Mitro going to Fulham on
loan. Mitrovic going to Fulham on loan.
Is he?
In talks.
Can I just say, I think we're being far too level-headed and nice about the transfer window, and it's a complete and utter fucking disgrace, and Mike Ashley can go and fuck himself. On top of that, I literally... Not only does it piss me off, right, it actually just baffles me, right? Like, why is he not protecting his asset? Like, surely, just from a pure business like standpoint, why on earth wouldn't you invest just enough to keep work? Just do enough to keep your asset that you don't fucking want as a sellable asset?
I think I can answer that question, because he hasn't got a fucking clue what that is. He doesn't understand football. He doesn't know what it is that keeps us up. So he has no way of understanding how that translates to money. All he can think about is, well, actually, if I spend more money now, I've got less cash. Like, he doesn't understand football. He doesn't know what... he won't listen to Rafa Benitez in that sense. He'll listen to the people around him.
If he had a model for his businesses... If he had a model for his businesses where he's tried one method and he's suffered the business equivalent of relegation twice, surely you change tack, because you're not stupid, and you learn from your mistakes and you try a different approach. And it doesn't seem... It's really... I can't understand his motivations. If he was kind of like an evil Mr. Burns-style billionaire or something, who just... You could see what his end game was. You might not at least agree with it, but you could... You know, at least you understood where he was going with it. I just... It seems to be the fact that he's... He's not given Rafa Benitez actual hard cash in this transfer window, yet he understands how important Rafa Benitez is to a sale because PCP have stated as much, and there were stipulations in the three bids. Yet he's, and you know, in the same week, he's not giving them money, but then he's offering him a new contract. It's like, it's completely bizarre.
Can I just say, I think basically we've had this debate where I try and ask you to be customers rather than fans. That is because he's turned me into a customer from a fan, do you know what I mean? Like, he's driven me away from, I'll just happily spend money, blah, blah, because it's my club and I love it, because he's presiding over it and he's turning me into a customer who's demanding something in return. Because I think the way I answer it is, I think he sees, we see them as football players, as fans, we see them as, like, we don't see them as assets. I think he sees them as paid staff. Do you know what I mean? And he's kind of requesting, he's like, right, well, that's their responsibility. They're paid to do this. Why should I have to go and get someone else? Why should I have to go and spend money? Or why should I have to pay more money when I've got paid staff there who are supposedly Premier League footballers? They should be, you know, able to get us out of this mess. I don't think he's gambling. I think he's, like, borderline autistic and he actually just doesn't see the difference. Do you know what I mean?
You know what worries me is, like, right, he doesn't want to spend money because there's a sale. Let's go with that for a minute. Let's say, right, there is a sale, he doesn't want to spend money. The situation in the last week has become, like, almost terminal. A couple of weeks ago, Swansea were 6 points behind and we had them to play at home. And then West Brom were 7 points behind us. So that's, in my mind, they were done. Those two teams were done. Do what you want in January, lads. You are done. Now they're a point. Something, I think Swansea are 1 point and West Brom are four or five points behind us. So there's still a bit of a gap there. But fine, if you want to do what you want to do and you want to not back Rafa, you want to fuck him over again, to then not recognise what's happened since in the Premier League, to not look at our fixture list. I mean, who have we got left at home who you'd say, yeah, I fancy us there. I mean, I fancy us against no one at home. Huddersfield and West Brom. You know, so for him not to think, right, okay, a few days to go. This is the thing, that offered 15 million quid for Jorgensen, and it's been reported widely, Mark Douglas said it, the player didn't match their valuation. Who is they? Who is there? Who is the director of football? Who is the football expert? Who is the person who thinks this player is worth this much? You've got Steve Nicholson, head of recruitment. Is he above Rafa Benitez? Fuck knows. It's just an absolute farce.
Who even is he? Who is he?
He came from the under-23s or the under-21s, but my major concern now is we've not been in the relegation zone this season, really, have we? We haven't. I think West Ham went in the relegation zone and we won 3-2. And obviously the first couple of games of the season, you know, when the league table hadn't really taken shape. Watch this fan base when we go in the relegation zone. We play Palace on Sunday. Most of us are, well, me and Mickey are going. If we don't get a result there, there are teams playing each other. I believe Stoke play Brighton. You know, one of them's going to pick up points. Wait until the shit hits the fan, and it's almost like Ashley, because we haven't, even though we've been 1-2 points goal difference, because we haven't been in the relegation zone, he hasn't felt necessary to ask. And that backs up Chubb's point of simply not, of just not understanding what needs to be done when McLaren, and we were 4 points, 5 points cut off, we spent big. And it's almost like to us sat around the table here and everybody listening, that seems nonsensical. Because the fact that you're so close to pulling yourself out of trouble, you would invest and you would do whatever you could to get 3 points tonight, to get 3 points against Swansea, to get 3 points. I mean, Brighton was in December. But it's, I'm positive, and we said at the start of the season, I thought we'd get about 48 points. Oh, well, fuck getting 48 points. We are relying on Andre Ayew at Swansea being shite. We're relying on Stoke, the lad that just signed from Galatasaray for big money. We're relying on him being shite. It's almost like we're going to have to keep Sturridge getting injured. We're going to have to keep doing what we're doing, and we'll do all right. You know, we'll not embarrass ourselves like Sunderland. We'll not, you know, finish bottom with four games to go. Who have we got on the last day of the season? We've got Chelsea away. No, Chelsea at home, then Watford away. You know, we've got Everton away. We've got Arsenal. We've got Leicester away. And that is the last five, six games. Like, I worry. I'm seriously worried about Newcastle United now. And it's just nice, like, the night don't help.
Looking at the games left, there's very few that you would think we're going to pick anything up in. We've got basically all of the top eight teams.
I mean, Southampton at home is massive.
Southampton at home, Huddersfield at home, and then Watford really are the games that you'd think that we've got a chance in.
Mickey, Slimani, you didn't rate him last night. Do you rate him today now as a Newcastle player?
It's impossible to say, really, isn't it? He's struggled for Leicester in a team that's vastly different to ours. But he comes off the back of a really prolific season in Portugal, so who knows?
He's Leicester's record signing still.
Yeah. It didn't work for them, though. What concerns me, first of all, a couple of things on Slimani. Number one is that he can only play 9 games. If he's injured for the next 2, which is supposedly true, he can only play 9 games.
Why?
Because we've only got 12, and he misses Leicester. Well, tonight there was one. Maybe it's 10 then. He can't play against Leicester, and then misses Man U and Palace because he's injured. It's 10 games. Secondly is he's not done too well in English football, and thirdly, it's all on him. Like, clearly, again, like, even more so from tonight, if he doesn't score, we're fucked. So if he doesn't hit the ground running for Newcastle, we're down. And judging again, I hate to go back to it again because I say this almost every time on the podcast, but people's reaction to Hosolu tonight when he missed chances. If Slimani has a bad game for the first, if he has a bad first 60 minutes, people are getting on his fucking back straight away. It just doesn't help. I was baffled listening to people scream at Hosolu, a bloke who was so obviously desperate for confidence. Who are we as a fan base to be treating a player like that? It's mental. I worry that we're gonna kill our only chance of staying up by being Construm.
Yeah, Si, kind of same question you have. Just been confirmed Adams and Shrubby's film. We've signed this keeper. I think we're after a 10, a left back, a striker, and a keeper. We've done kind of 3/4 of that business, albeit loans. And I don't know, Adam, is this lad permanent, is he?
Yeah, he's on loan, but I think there's an option.
All right, so another loan, brilliant.
it's 2 million loan fee and then yeah. 4 million. 4 million and some
of
the
it's pennies basically.
Is it enough, Si? Do you agree that we're now relying on other teams being shite rather than have we reached the limit of our potential as a team?
Well, I said it before tonight, we needed to win 5 games and that was a massively winnable game, so there's another one gone. It's going to be really hard, as you've just described from the fixtures, to win. We're going to finish on less than 40 points, so yeah, we need other teams to have Mez, because how would we get past 40 points? You mentioned the incomings. Obviously, Slimani's an improvement up front. Kennedy is class, another option on the wing. It's not really a left back. We've got Paul Dummett fit, and we're stuck with Paul Dummett now. Hydoro was shite last week. We won't see him again. So we're stuck with Paul Dummett, and we just described before how Kennedy and Paul Dummett, you just look at them and see, it's just two different levels of footballer. Like, we've got a class footballer, and we've got Paul Dummett, who's worked really hard for it and earned the right to play in Rafa's team. But he's also the reason we got relegated, because he's just another footballer. He's not really good enough. Great lad, and he's you know, we've slated him for years, and then he kind of turned us around last season, because in the Championship he was excellent. But yeah, that's 3/4 of the transfer business we need to do. I think that's been generous. You know, we didn't get a number 10. We're going to be stuck with Perez basically. We've got Diame, who's been really good, and we've got Marino now not playing as well as he has done. We've got Shelby still. I can't see football matches with this side where 3 or 4 players have a good game. We're going to have 1 or 2 players having a good game and the rest having an average game. And when that happens, we're not better than anyone.
You've still got 8 minutes.
The fullback, yeah, still 8 minutes of the window. the fullbacks worry me. Yedlin had a good game tonight for like 75 minutes. And then he just has a ropey 5 or 10 minutes. And
he's shite, man. Yedlin is perfect in a game where we'll play a high line or we're against fast strikers, because he can recover. We need to play a high line and then he can run back. When we're playing deep like we did tonight and the ball's coming over the top, he looks lost. When the ball comes at him, when someone comes running at him, he cannot defend, man.
I thought he's a sprinter, not a footballer, and he needs to go and find another fucking hobby.
when he let that ball bounce in the second half, it was just like, how are mate? Like, you've seen Jamal, like, literally heading them into touch, just constantly just head the ball, we'll reset from the throw-in, and he lets the ball bounce, and Aaron Lennon gets the ball, and it's just like, you're not going to get any better, are you, mate? Like, this is the limit, and you know what, he has a place in this squad, but if he's our first choice right back, then And I you know, Wilfred Zahorn is coming on Sunday. Fucking hell. We're struggling, Mickey.
I was gonna tell you apart about Yedlin as well. I thought he was shocking today.
He has games where he's all right for the majority of the game. He doesn't do anything wrong. He does a lot of things right, but then he's so bad when he's bad. It's not Premier League standard.
I thought he was poor all game from start to finish. I thought his positioning was poor, which normally he's not too bad at. He lost the ball repeatedly in dangerous areas for them. One in particular.
Second half, though, you're talking about. Yeah.
In the first half, positionally in the first half, I thought he was poor. But in the first half, we dominated them, so it's a different game. He wasn't defending. The problem with him, as was evident when he let the ball bounce in the box and Aaron Lennon managed to keep it in and then gets the ball across to one of their players who fluffs his shot. He can't defend. He doesn't know how to defend. That's bread and butter for a fullback. You have to be able to defend. Surely.
I'll just say.
So that's that. You know, War Flags did a big display against Mike Ashley tonight with Kevin Keegan's famous quote, the pictures look great. Well done, everybody involved in that. And yeah, we'll be back. So we've got the True Faith Press for tomorrow night. We'll have a podcast out, hopefully, of it Friday morning if I get the chance. And then we're going to Palace and we need to win. And I hope he picks a team like he picked at Stoke with plenty of pace, playing the counter-attack. So, lads, thanks very much for your contributions tonight. Follow us on Twitter @TFWeeklyPod, and we'll be back with you soon. Cheers.